Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I am talking with the chairman of our Republican Party, former congressman of our 2nd Congressional District here in New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, things on the border just don't seem to be getting any better. What are you seeing down there?
Well, there was a fascinating Twitter by one of the guys, I think he works at Fox of LA, Bill Magrin, but he is talking about Mayorkas. On Monday, said in a big boastful tweet that if you come to the U.S. illegally, you'll be returned. Your journey will not succeed. And then we had the reports last week that the Haitians were all being put on airplanes and returned home, that those thousands of people under the Del Rio Bridge were being returned. Then the same tweet that is calling out Mayorkas is pointing out that the Haitians are being sent out into our communities in the thousands without either an NTR, that's a notice to reply, or an NTA, that's notice to appear. And so the Haitians are being turned loose into our communities with no restrictions and no callbacks or anything. And so another major lie coming out of the administration. We all remember when they told us that they had knocked out that ISIS warrior who had planned and carried out the attack and killed the 13 servicemen in Afghanistan. Then it turns out that they killed about 7 school children and their parents, so killed 10 innocent people to where they could claim internationally that they had really struck ISIS hard. They didn't touch ISIS, and they're not touching the Haitians here. So overall, the border crisis continues to get worse. A new high as far as illegal immigrants coming across, 208,887 in August. That's the highest in 21 years. But along with that catastrophe is the humanitarian crisis that's going on, because how in the world do you process 208,000, 209,000 people? So they're being held without medical care. There's no way that we could provide enough doctors to take care of 200,000 people every month coming in. Then kids, of course, are not getting school. They're being turned loose to people that we don't even know who they're being turned loose to. People claiming to be a parent or a distant relative, and their own supposedly on instructions from the parents. And all in all, it's a catastrophe of unheard of proportions at the border.
I was talking to the vet Harrell, and she says that the Afghan refugees, I don't know if that's the same for the ones we're releasing from the southern border, but that they seem to be releasing them into red districts. Her district, your old district as congressman, CD2 here in New Mexico, getting 20,000 Afghan refugees. We don't know that they've been tested for COVID or had a vaccine, and we don't know their vetting situation, but 20,000, I wonder how many are being released in CD1 and CD3.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Probably none. We don't have any reports of any at all. But then this last week, you had those, I think it was 3 Afghans who attacked this young female security person that came in and to go to work, and they sexually assaulted her. She's being treated for both physical trauma, but also mental abuse. And when you have these kind of large groups of people that you're turning loose, they have different cultures, different beliefs. They think that they don't have to follow our laws here because they haven't followed them to get here. And so you have these things happen that shock the rest of us.
Speaking of red districts, taking a look at statistics is very interesting to note as the economy is kind of in a downfall. Red states seem to be doing better overall than the blue states.
Well, we continue to report on this, and still 16 of the top 20 states as far as job performance, as far as jobs being available to people, they're Republicans, 16 of the 20 top ones. Meanwhile, Biden's inflation tax is continuing to eat away at the earnings of our middle class. We're seeing fewer people go to our restaurants, fewer people are out shopping because they are spending more money just because of inflation. And so there's less money to go around. Obviously, people are not going to be buying things they used to buy. So right now, the inflation tax is looking horrible. But as if that's not enough, then the Democrats in Congress, along with Joe Biden, are trying to slam the American taxpayer with the largest tax increase in our history. And so the average everyday working person, the person that makes this country work, they make the country function. They're being hammered by Biden's policies and the policies of the left, and there seems to be no let up at all. That requires that we begin, like Amy Varela, who you're going to hear in the next segment, it requires us all to stand up and take a position at the table of public opinion and oversight of government and start being involved. Don't let them get by with it. Some people are saying, well, if we keep going this way, we're going to be in real trouble. Jim Townsend, the minority leader in the House of Representatives in Santa Fe, has said it best. We're not going to be in trouble. We are already in trouble. So time is fast passing when we're going to be able to manage any change at all.
This bill they're trying to get through, the tax increase, are there enough Republicans in the Senate to stop that?
Well, with a 50-50 margin, all they have to do is have the Democrats pull together, and then Kamala Harris would break the tie because she's the president pro tem of the Senate. She has the tie-breaking vote, and so they don't worry about Republican votes, but I don't think they have enough Democrat or Republicans together to get it passed.
Yeah, it looked like it passed the House last week.
That's yeah, and so the Senate is always the problem. The House, they've got more leverage. In the Senate, it's very difficult for either party. The Senate rules favor the minority, and well, they should, because the minority should always work to slow down what the majority is trying to do. And right now, our policies are having devastating effect on our businesses. 50% of the business owners nationwide report that they're unable to fill spots that they have available and they're ready to pay people for. But these stimulus payments, these unemployment benefits being stretched out as long as they have, it has broken the back of the job market. And that's always been really the strong point for the U.S. economy. And now then it looks like that may be damaged. Whether it's damaged permanently, we can't declare that.
It's interesting you mentioned this, there's a race for mayor in Albuquerque, and one of the big issues is the homeless problem in Albuquerque, and yet you drive down any main street in Albuquerque, and there's help wanted signs on every business. So if those homeless people wanted to work, there are plenty of jobs for them, but yet that's not happening.
Yeah, it's not happening because if they can stand out on a street corner that's tax-free money, they don't have to pay Uncle Sam if they go to work. Then they have to pay taxes. And so it's just another way to game the system. And when enough people game the system, you have tremendous economic instability. That's what has happened in Greece. Something like 40% of the people who owe taxes simply don't pay them. They don't make excuses. They don't do anything. They simply don't pay their taxes. And so that will end up being the problem here in America, is that folks just won't be able to afford everything. And you're going to find this tendency for our tax revenues to go down worse than they normally would.
Coming up in our next segment, Steve Pierce will be talking with Amy Varela. She is the vice chair of Congressional District 2 for the Republican Party of New Mexico and Republican Party chair for Otero County. That's coming up on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico, as our chairman of the Republican Party speaks with this week's guest.
Well, Derek, as we mentioned in the first segment, we have a special guest today in the second segment. Amy Varela is one of the great Republican county chairs and is also the statewide CD2 vice chair for the RPNM. So I just wanted to visit with Amy on the program today. Amy, thanks for being with us and thanks for the great job you're doing. Tell the folks a little bit about your background, why you got into the Republican Party politics.
Well, thank you for having me today. It's kind of funny how we got started. Is I was very non-political, not involved with the community, just a business owner, raising kids and not paying attention to anything until the government actually went after my business. And that's what got my attention and started fighting to save my business and just haven't stopped fighting for the state since then.
When you say the government went after your business, tell us a little bit about that.
I own a towing company. And in being in Otero County, it's a small community, and Alamogordo wanted to do the same thing they do in like Santa Fe or Las Cruces or in Albuquerque, where they have just one wrecker service that does all of their DWI towing. And my belief is that the government shouldn't be in business, for one, and we were definitely providing those services already, and none of that should be taken away from private business. So I fought that, and we won that.
I congratulate you for taking on the fight, and I'm ecstatic that you were able to win the fight, because government should not be in business, not in any capacity.
Right, and I just didn't stop there. I won that battle and just seen more problems as I was involved and just kept on fighting. And even today, you know, I fight that with our city trying to get into government. And when, until I stick my nose in and remind them, the government has no business running a business, making any kind of profit in any manner, and I will not ever support that, and I can usually get them to back down.
So tell me a little bit about some of the things that you've got going on. You're one of the most active county chairs, and you're involved constantly in schools, school board meetings. You're involved in the city council meetings. So talk a little bit about some of the issues you're facing there.
Yes, I try to attend as many meetings as possible. I feel it's my position to make sure that I inform the public of what's going on, because the public doesn't go. You attend these meetings, there might be 10 or 15 people there, and they're just sliding stuff by without people noticing. And so, like, I'm going to use Tularosa as an example. There has been a vacancy in the trustee position for about 14 months, and I went to the mayor and asked the mayor if I could help her start addressing the vacancy for this upcoming November election. And she just flat told me that she was not going to recognize the vacancy until the term expired, which would have been December of 2023. And I said, that's not fair to the constituents. That position is there for representation, and you need to make sure somebody is in that. So she told me no, and I started pushing hard. And what I did is I went to the public. I said, listen, the mayor doesn't want to fill this vacancy. Do you feel the need to be represented, or do you think that they should just continue to allow the mayor to get away with everything that she's trying to get away with? And the people spoke. We filled the room, and it's on this November's ballot.
That's amazing. It would also explain a call that RPNM got several months ago complaining that the local county chair, Ms. Amy Barilla, had become a problem, and we needed to address it. I think that the mayor is the problem, and I think that you addressed it in the proper fashion. Get people to show up, and when the room is full of people, it's amazing how the elected officials change their votes. What other issues are you dealing with now?
So I also am very active in the school board, and I do not have any young kids in school. Mine are grown, and so I try to stay out of the school board meetings, just trying to get the parents to handle it on themselves, but the state is fixing to put up this new curriculum, our new history rewritten into our social studies from K to 12, that includes so much rewriting of history, including the gay and lesbian groups that made impacts in our history, including equality for all, not self-identifying as any kind of a culture, and teaching everybody about the equality. And it's astounding how much is in that critical race theory, and I'm making sure that everybody knows about that.
The thing I've got against the critical race theory is that, number one, the schools have always been pretty well nonpartisan. They don't favor either party, and yet this critical race theory definitely favors the Democrat view of life, that is, that the country is bad. That's the second thing that I've got against the critical race theory, is that it teaches that our history is bad. Now, the U.S. has absolutely done things that are not right, but overall, in the big balance scale of all the nations in the country, when you compare the U.S. to any other nation in the world, then you get a representation that the U.S. is a good and a kind and a decent country, one where the most opportunity has existed. And so to teach this idea that America is bad is one that I think very few parents, very few Americans in general would comply with. But then the final thing I've got against the critical race theory is that we should not be indoctrinating. The government should never be involved in indoctrinating our people, especially students who are still forming their opinions about many things. And this critical race theory is simply an indoctrination program that we've seen in communist countries, but to see it in our own school systems fills you with alarm. Well, how is that fight going? Are you getting enough people to show up and impacting those school board meetings?
our school board is completely following the executive order of the governor. So the last two in-person school board meetings have only allowed 15 people to sit in attendance inside the meeting. And yes, they have it on the webinar, so you can sit and listen if you want to, but there's no interaction with the parents or anything. And they do not answer anybody's emails as well. If you get an email answered from a school board member, it's almost like a miracle. But what they're doing is the same thing that the agenda is doing. They don't use the term critical race theory or curriculum or even advertise that the PED is trying to get public engagement to look at this curriculum and see what they say. They just say, this is going to be happening. We're going to have a work session and decide if we're going to implement this or not. In addition to using the mask and vaccines against our kids and this mediation for COVID is what they call it, they are selecting our kids out of the classroom when they have been what they call exposed. Now, they come up with a positive case in the classroom and they choose one, maybe two kids that they think have been exposed. And that is just insane to me how you can pick and choose the kids out of that group of kids when the whole classroom has obviously been exposed. So I don't understand the thinking there. Not only that, Alamo Gordo has entered into what I call it, using our kids as guinea pigs with the New Mexico Health Department in doing research on this mitigation, changing what they are doing and trying out different things to see what works and does not work. But I can tell you when they said that at the public meeting, they didn't use those words. And any parents that sat there that didn't know what they were talking about still do not know what they're talking about because of the code languages that they're using.
Any other things that we ought to be aware of as you're conducting your business as the county chair in Otero County?
Well, we have local elections, and I'm really working hard for our local elections. You know, this weekend, Otero County had a fair, and I worked hard, for one, to make sure we introduce the candidates that are running for school board, for mayor, and Tularosa trustee, Cloudcroft, everything, get the information out. People don't even know there's an election coming up. First vote is cast on October 5th, and, you know, how do you apply for an absentee ballot and all that? I try to give as much information. We registered voters. I think we got about 30 voters registered over the last 5 days. I'm excited about that. We have some meet and greet events so people can actually sit down in front of the candidates one-on-one. We're calling it speed dating. Speed date the candidates. So we're going to just do a date your candidate. You got 3 minutes. We're going to rotate people around. I want to give people the opportunity to sit in front of somebody that they've never had the opportunity to sit in front of before. And I think that needs to happen now.
This is what I like about Amy Barella, chair of the 2nd Congressional District, but also chair of her county, Otero County. Thank you for everything you do, and God bless you and your efforts.
Thank you very much.
China has banned Bitcoin. Steve Pierce and I will be back to talk about that and more in just a moment on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico as I continue my conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, digital currency, it's been out for a few years now. It doesn't seem to be backed by any government. And I noticed China has outlawed that and they just came back again last week and confirmed that they will not accept Bitcoin in China. What are your thoughts?
Well, Bitcoin surfaced several years ago. And any currency is backed up by a promise to pay. In other words, the U.S. dollar used to be backed up by gold. Then during the Nixon time, we dropped the gold standard. But still, people trusted that they could get paid if they had a note, maybe a piece of currency. But on Bitcoin, no one knows exactly who will pay and how it's going to reflect on your balance sheet. And so China has said we're going to outlaw it. One of the major considerations for the digital currencies, for those currencies which, again, are being driven by internet and social media, but one of the major factors is that no transactions are trackable. They use the blockchain technology to track every single transaction to where you can be certain who you're dealing with and what they've done in the past. But the government doesn't have access to that. And so you can't tax these transactions that are done in digital currencies. And so eventually Bitcoin would result in the fall of each individual government in the world as their internal economies transition more and more towards the Bitcoin or any of the number of hundreds now of competing digital currencies.
Last week, there was an audit of the 2020 presidential election in Maricopa County, Arizona. The results should have been front page news on every newspaper, the top of every newscast, and you're really not hearing anything about it. We're going to give you some of the statistics here, Steve, but what are your thoughts?
And that audit process was set in motion by the Republican House and Senate in Arizona. Of course, we've got a Republican governor. People are frantic that we have these audits here in New Mexico, but I tell them, hey, Arizona is completely different. They have Republicans in charge, and here we've had 90 years of Democrat control. But the first thing that played out in the first release came out, Democrats are crowing about how it just validated that they had won the election. What they don't want you to know, and what you're referring to, is that there were over 50,000 ballots that had been flagged for various reasons. And yet the county had reported zero problems, zero duplicate votes. Tell me a little bit about what you're finding as you look at the results of the Maricopa County audit recount.
Keep in mind that President Trump officially lost Arizona by about 11,000 votes. And this is just Maricopa County now, not all of Arizona. But first off, mail-in ballots voted from prior address. They found 23,344 ballots. Right there, if you discount those, because those wouldn't be legal if they voted from a prior address, Trump would have won. More ballots returned by voter than they received. Just like here in New Mexico, if you want to vote by mail, you request a ballot from the county. They mail you a ballot. You mail it back in. They got back more than they sent out. That was 9,041 right there. Voters that potentially voted in multiple counties, 5,295. Official results does not match who voted. That was 3,432. More duplicates than original ballots. 2,592. So that means somebody was printing ballots. In-person voters who had moved out of Maricopa County. So they moved away, but they came back to vote. 2,382. Voters moved out of state during the 29-day period preceding the election was 2,081, but yet they voted in Maricopa County. And then last, voters counted in excess of voters who voted is 1,551.
Yeah, and so the question is, would Arizona go to the next step and decertify the election results? Those state senators or state house members are under tremendous pressure from all directions, and everything that I see from outside says that they're beginning to lose their nerve, that I've been in pressure-packed situations, and it does. It gets hard to maintain your principles, and so we will see where this goes, but a lot of problems flagged, and you're going through with even more precise description of how that election was affected by votes that were cast illegally. Now, as we wrap up the show, let's do a quick walkthrough about the things that Joe Biden has done to create such a foreign policy, really catastrophe, not just in Afghanistan, not just at the border, but worldwide. First of all, he gifted Putin the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. That's a geopolitical win for Russia that they've been trying to get for a long time.
Well, let's take a moment and explain that, because for our listeners, what that does is it makes Western Europe, Germany especially, beholden to Russia. That means if they want to get their free flow of oil, they have to get it now from Russia instead of us.
Yes, and Russia in the past has indicated, and they have actually turned off the supply to create political pressures during tremendous international arguments, and they've had people freezing to death in those Western European countries. So to give them this pipeline was a catastrophe of tremendous proportion.
What else has the president done?
Of course, he's got the historic border crisis going on. Failed to stand strongly in defense of the Cubans demanding freedom from Cuba's communist regime. He just looked the other way, and Democrats nationwide looked the other way. He lifted restrictions on the terrorists funding Iran. He decided to send U.S. taxpayer dollars to the Taliban-controlled Afghanistan and to the Hamas-controlled Gaza. He campaigned on shutting down COVID, but has since spread misinformation, given in to China's narrative that they weren't involved at all in the problem, and has sent mixed messages to the public so they don't know which way to turn. He issued an unconstitutional draconian vaccine mandate that is still being fought in courts. He refused to stand up to communist China on the origins of COVID-19, despite all of the intel community citing that the Chinese obstruction was real. They oversaw the chaotic and failed Afghanistan withdrawal. What that has done is embolden terrorists worldwide. It has left Americans behind and undermined the U.S. credibility worldwide. He's proposed reinstating funding for the U.N. Population Fund, and evidence suggests that it supports abortion and forced sterilization in China. He's returned U.S. funding to the heavily communist-influenced World Health Organization. In less than 1 year in office, Joe Biden has overseen some of the worst foreign policy decisions in decades. And as a result, we here in America have lost credibility on the world stage. That's in less than a year that Joe Biden has done all of these things. Folks, it is time to vote Republican up and down the ballot, from school board to city council to your state representatives' races, all the way into the gubernatorial race. It is time to vote for Republicans. If you want to change, you got to change the way you vote.
Thank you, Steve. And to that, if you would like to get more information on the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can do that several ways. First, check out the website at newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at newmexicogop. If you would like to talk to someone in person, call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.